I remember waking up and being like, I thought I was a different person, but I'm just as bad as I was before with my other kids, you know? I'm selfish. And so I was like crying in the bathtub and was like, God, why? Like, just please help me to understand. I'll do whatever, but I just need understanding. And I've never had this happen to me ever. And I literally heard these words and it said, because she's going to change the world.
Before we dive in, just a quick favor. If you're enjoying what we're doing at Angels Among Us, please take a second to rate and review the show. And if something in today's episode touches your heart, please share it with a friend. Welcome to Angels Among Us, the podcast where we share real stories of angelic encounters. Each episode, you'll hear firsthand accounts of divine protection, guidance, and miraculous interventions that remind us we're never truly alone. Whether through a whisper of comfort, an unseen hand of protection, or an unmistakable presence, angels are closer than we think. Join us as we explore these powerful experiences of angels, both seen and unseen. Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Angels Among Us. Brent and Michaela here, as always. And we are joined by Brittany and Fatu, and also Revy is sitting over there. Right? And you guys will hear a little bit more about Revy, but we are super excited. I think I know a little bit more about your guys' story than Michaela does. But we're excited to hear what you have to share with everybody. And I'm really excited.
Well, so, how did you find, just explain how you found Brittany?
I think it was on Instagram.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I saw something, either one of your reels came across or something. And then I do a little stalking.
For the podcast, not yeah.
Hey, sounds really bad. That's fine. It's fine. We all have fine hobbies. People.
Yeah. So, it's a lot of times I really feel like God just puts people in my life that, we need to have on the show. I pray for the right people to come across all the time, and he hasn't let me down yet. So, so don't let us down, Brittany.
Yeah, right. The pressure is on. Well, thank you so much for having us. I'm so excited to have the opportunity to talk about our story and in a different perspective. We usually talk about, you know, from a medical standpoint or a business standpoint, but we haven't really had the opportunity to just focus on God. And I was sitting here trying to think, like, I usually know exactly what I'm going to say, like how I'm gonna, and I don't. And I'm really excited about that because I don't think I've actually given myself the opportunity to share our story in this light. So thank you.
Well, and really quick, I'm sorry. It looks like you guys are basketball fans.
Oh, yeah. You know, nope. Steph Curry, for sure. I don't want to make anyone sick, but we have a signed Steph Curry jersey over here.
Look at that.
Yeah.
They're out of town, so my
nephew's room. We're out of town, and he was nice enough to let us use it. Sorry, guys.
Whoops. You're okay.
Sorry, so, I didn't need to throw that in there, but
I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did. So, my name's Brittany, and my husband is sitting right here with me. His name's Fatu, and our daughter, Revy. So she's 3 years old, but think of the newborn phase that never ends. That's where we're currently at in life. So he is sitting on an exercise ball, for those listening, bouncing her. And that has pretty much been our life for 3 years. It's the best hack ever. So if you're at home, grab an exercise ball if you need it for your baby. But we have two other children, all girls. Ella's 13 and Shia is 10. And me and my husband are high school sweethearts, been dating since we were kids. I'm his only girlfriend. I like to
Wow.
Yeah.
Is what he your only ever boyfriend?
No, definitely not.
I'm a year older, so I lived a little.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I teased him about that. But yeah, we after two kids, I didn't want any more. It was really hard. We both come from a family of six, and I'm the oldest. He's the youngest. You can tell he's the youngest.
Okay.
But I always wanted a big family, and so did he. But I got really sick during my pregnancies where I had to be on IVs. And I really struggled with self-worth issues. I didn't realize that prior, but we're both fitness trainers. Well, he trains athletes. I train postpartum women, and because it's because of my pregnancies and like what I went through. But I didn't realize how much I struggled with body image issues and self-worth until I got pregnant. And it pretty much rocked my whole world. I got pregnant very young, 21. And it was just so hard for me. And I was like, yeah, I'm done. Just two. And it was fine. Like, we had a great life. We're entrepreneurs. And so having the two, it made it easy, kind of. But we were able to just like pack those two along and like work towards our dreams. And in 20, when you got the gym?
2020?
No, that's when we started. So we left our college careers in 2020, COVID, to become trainers. What, you know? When everything shuts down, I'm like, what are we going to do? And he was like hopping fences, training athletes because everything, but we had to survive, you know, somehow. Mm-hmm. And from there, we ended up opening up our own gym. We sold our house and put everything we had into this gym. And it was amazing. Like, we had lived in rooms of family home members' homes. We had struggled for a really long time. And to get this gym felt like we had made it. And then, of course, surprise, I'm pregnant. Right?
Isn't that how it always happens?
Always. Do you have anything that... Sorry, Fatu, I almost feel like he feels like he's on the side because he's bouncing, but I'm going to, what do you feel at that time?
Yeah, it was, so everything was shutting down in Utah for COVID. And so when we did this, when we opened up the gym, it was actually in Idaho. So I had an opportunity to help someone run their gym in Idaho. So I actually came home and we packed up our two girls and then we sold everything and moved out to Idaho. And then, after working there for 2 years with his gym, I, decided to step away. And then that's when we used our money that we got from, selling our home to open up our own gym.
Yes. So it just felt like everything finally made sense. Like this is what it was for, you know? And then I get pregnant and I'm like, oh my gosh, like my youngest was seven. And I was like, why now? You know, like we weren't doing anything to prevent it, but like that had been us for 7 years. So why now? And I was terrified because like I had mentioned before, I struggled with all these body image issues. I'm running a fitness program, like, but I had done a lot of internal work in growing. And I was like, I almost felt like this was a gift from God because I really wasn't as present as I wanted to be with my older two because I was so, I struggled mentally a lot. And so I had done the work I felt and I was just like, oh my gosh, this is my like redo baby. It sounds so weird when I say it out loud, but I was like, this is my chance to do it right. I can do it right this time and really be present with her. And so my pregnancy was the easiest pregnancy. I had no IVs. I was like, what? And we just opened the business. So I was still able to help with the income. And I had no idea, spoiler alert, that like anything would be wrong. And I'm not going to be politically correct as I speak about this, because this sure. was not my experience, right? Like, so I didn't know anything would be wrong with Revy. So we were like, it's okay. We can still run our business. We can still be pregnant. We can do all these things. It's just a baby. Like, we're going to be okay. And we go to deliver Revy. And the second she came out of me, they pulled her out. I didn't see her face. I didn't see anything, just her back. And my whole body knew. I was like, something's wrong with my baby. And it was the weirdest moment, because I was like, okay, like they're going to recognize, they're going to realize, like, all this like grief is like, it was just like struck me, but I'm like, someone will say something. And I like look to Fatu, and he has like the smile on his face. They're doing like skin to skin. And I'm like, what are you smiling at? Like, don't you know something's wrong? And I remember I had to like work the courage up, because I felt dumb. Like, everyone was like acting like it was so happy. And I just blurt out, I was like, what's wrong with her? And then I'll let Fatu like.
Yeah. And when she said that they'd taken Rev away to go in, and to weigh her. And when she said that, I seen the two nurses that were like holding Rev, putting her on the scale. They both like looked at each other almost like there is something wrong. And so I like, and I never thought too much of it. I was just thinking that what Brittany had gone through, as far as like, we're starting our own businesses, everything is falling into place, and then having another kid that was a surprise, I felt like it was maybe something that she was dealing with.
And they didn't say anything in your pregnancy? They didn't?
So she was measuring small, but okay. They had assumed that it was just my placenta, like not like giving her the right nutrients. So it was very chill. Like, it was like, she's totally fine. It's just your like placenta. Like, we've done all the tests. Like, they did induce me at 37 weeks. So I was still full term, but they're like, let's just get her out and you'll be fine. So it wasn't entirely shocking where I was like, oh my gosh, something's wrong. But at the same time, like, there was nothing put in front of me prior to be like, okay, something could be wrong, you know, it was very lax. And so when I had said that, what's wrong with her, and they took her to the back, I remember being like, okay, I can handle this. Like, I can handle a diagnosis. It's going to be fine. I literally thought there was like three syndromes in the world, right? I'm like, it, you know, she either has this, this, or this, like, it's going to be fine. We're good. And they walk her back up to me and they're like, nothing is wrong with your baby. And that was the one thing I like did not prepare myself for. And to like really speak this spiritually, because I've like never been able to, my God was telling me, like, my whole gut, like, his voice was like, something is wrong with your baby, and you're gonna need to fight for her. And it scared me. Because not only do I know I'm the only one who knows, Fatu never made me feel like I was wrong, ever. But he was just like, whatever you think, Brittany. Like, you know, he was very encouraging, but he didn't have these feelings that I had. And that night, so we have three kids, I didn't touch Revy one time. And I, like, hate myself for that now. I understand. But I was like guarding my heart because I didn't know how long I was going to have her. I didn't know what it was going to take for me. And Fatu took care of her that whole night, and she wasn't drinking a bottle. We had to feed her with our pinky and like a syringe.
Syringe on it. Because she was 4 pounds. Mm-hmm. She was very small. And we didn't even, they didn't even hold us any longer though. So we stayed the one night, and then the very next day they're like, hey, you guys are good to go.
Yeah. And it wasn't a lack of like even advocacy at that point. Like, I knew nothing about the medical system, nothing, you know, but I did ask so many times. We went through three pediatricians to be like, something's wrong with her. Please, like, can you just look? Can you? And one doctor like stood in the doorway peeked his head in and her in the little like clear box that they lay in, and he was like, oh yeah, nothing's wrong with your baby, she's fine, like you're just a new mom, it's been a long time since you've had a baby, like she's good. And you feel dumb, you're like, oh my gosh.
And for me, like I definitely felt like Rev looked different, but I thought it's because she came out, maybe she could have had a couple more weeks in the oven. And so I'm over here like, just like, oh yeah, like she's going to take some time and she'll bounce back from this. But she definitely, she looked different, but I didn't believe one way or the other, like Brittany, you're acting crazy, or these doctors don't know what they're talking about. It's just like, yeah, she came out too early. She needs some time.
And yeah, so it was wild. We go home the next day with a 4-pound baby and a crazy mom. I'm like, oh my gosh, something's wrong. But I'm trying to hold it together. I'm trying to be like, okay, just trust the experts. But God is literally telling me, you can't stop fighting. Like, get ready. And we go home and the kids are just obsessed with her. Fatu just loves her. Everyone. And I was miserable. I was so angry. I was so upset at God because I was like, how could you? I did the work. I'm better now. Like, I'm a better mom now. Why would you do this? Why would you give me this baby that I can't even enjoy? Like, I want to enjoy her for the first time. Like, why would you do this? And so I did not, like, Fatu even, like, had to come to me and he was like, you got to stop. Like, I was not in the right mindset. Like, yeah, so thankful that if this was not us at 21 years old, I don't know if the baby would have made it with like, good thing he was mature and he basically like took care of Revy.
But I think one thing that Brittany forgot to mention, which she told me, and maybe this is part of the reason why she felt this way, is because like, and maybe this is wrong, but when we were right before we had Rev, it's like things were moving pretty fast with our businesses, with our life. And I feel like we just got the gym and we're the only people in town that are training. And so all these kids are coming and training with us. Like business is booming. It's going really well. And Brittany had said that she prayed to God and said, okay, I'm ready for whatever you have for me. And I think what Brittany was asking for was like the next business step, because training athletes was what I did. Like, I'm the one that said, hey, let's go and open this gym. And all the kids were leaving that trained with me at the original gym. And so it's like right when she prayed to God that she was ready for this next step, God gives her this gift of what she expected it to be. And I think when she felt that something was different with Rev, it was almost like, I thought like this is what you wanted, was for me to have this baby to be the mother that I wish I could have for the other two. And it was like, I think this happens a lot, is we ask God for help and then we're upset when he sends us the help because it's not the way that we expected it to be.
Yeah, for sure. And Fatu's right. Like when the business was booming, he means like his business was booming. Mine was not. And so I was almost jealous in the sense, like, or I felt like, okay, like, if this isn't it, then, like, and I remember I got on my knees, and I wasn't, on paper, I'm not the best, like, Latter-day Saint. I never read my Book of Mormon all the way through. I'm 36 almost, you know, like, I always was able to pray. I was always able to talk to God, and I was like, I'm ready for whatever's next, not a baby. God, you know, like that's not what I was asking for, but like business. And so, yes, like I get this baby and I'm angry, but I think I needed to be angry now, hindsight, right? Because I needed a fight. I was so mad and I was like, I'll prove that nothing's wrong with her. I'm going to prove that nothing's wrong so that I can be the mother that I'm meant to be, that I can, you know, like, because I had all this guilt with my older two. I'm like, it's going to be fine, but I got to go prove that. So I was at the doctor's office every day. I was asking for specialist after specialist. I was doing everything. They were so annoyed of me. But every specialist said nothing was wrong with her. Every person told me that I was crazy, basically. And I go to my OB appointment at 6 weeks, and she knew me. So I was like, okay, she knows me. She will listen. And she was like, I have to tell you this. You are spiraling. You are in postpartum depression. You have not had a baby for a while. You need medication. And she pointed to the room next door and she was like, there's a mother in there who actually has something wrong with her baby. And she would do anything to have yours. And I wasn't even mad at her. I was like, thank you. Like, it's just me. Like, I am just the problem. So it will be okay. I can fix it then, you know? And so I went home that day. And again, God was like, hello, she's wrong. Like, something's wrong, girl. Even though you really, really wish that it was just you, it's not. And I was crying in the bathtub. And I had, like, all these crazy dreams. I had this dream that, like, I've never said this before, but I woke up, or in my dream, Revy, like, the devil, like, brought Revy to me, and she was all hurt. Like, every part of her was hurt, and I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't love her, like, the way that I should have. And they were like, yep, you missed out, and this is what happened because you didn't, like, love her. And I remember waking up and being like, I thought I was a different person, but I'm just as bad as I was before with my other kids, you know? I'm selfish. And so I was, like, crying in the bathtub, and I was like, God, why? Like, just please help me to understand. I'll do whatever, but I just need understanding. And I've never had this happen to me, ever. And I literally heard these words, and it said, because she's going to change the world. And I didn't know if that meant, like, my world, you know, in my four walls. It meant the whole world, whatever. I didn't know what it meant, but I stopped. Like, it stopped me, like, dead in my tracks, and I was like, this is not about me. This is, like, she is here as a gift for me, like, and not in, like, a selfish way, but, like, I need to help her fulfill her purpose. It's always been about me. That's why I had a hard time being a mom before, because I was sad that my body got ruined, my time. I wanted to be somebody, you know, whatever. And he can be in now.
there we go.
But, and I knew, like, I am here to help this baby, and she is here to help me, and I'm ready. And I wasn't sad. Like, I can't even explain it. Like, I think the grief in having a baby with disabilities is totally normal. So for anyone listening to this, like, do not hate yourself. Do not be mad at yourself, because you have to grieve the baby you thought you were bringing home. You have to. You don't. That's just what happened. And it's like, you're grieving somebody who's there. It's so weird. But I don't want anyone to blame themselves, even though you will. I still have all this guilt. But that once I accepted, like, I was like, I'm okay. Like, it really was okay. I felt fine. And that was when we took her to another hospital that we didn't have her at. Walked through the ER. And I was like, I need help. And immediately everyone was like, oh my gosh, like, this baby's not okay. Like, she's so small. She's failure to thrive. Like, she had jaundice so bad. Her liver was, like, wrecked. Like, there were so many things going on. And they sent us to out of the state, back to Utah, to that hospital, and we got all Revy's diagnosis.
But I think one thing to mention, though, is like, Brittany heard all of this stuff of, like, your kid is not okay, and she was, like, happy, like, yeah, relieved for once. And it was more so, like, mm-hmm, that feeling, that mother's intuition is true. It's real. And I think for the longest time, especially when you're speaking to people who are professionals and they're telling you that you're crazy or that you don't know what you're talking about, I think it's very easy for women to question themselves and to hate themselves even more. And so I think that was, like, a pretty big step for us, is when she told me that we're getting transferred, she was almost like, happy. I'm like, girl, what are you talking about?
So happy.
Like, this is not good. But it was like, okay, I was right. Those feelings that I had in me, and I've now been like you're right. Like, everything is good. As validating how you're feeling, like, you have all of that. So yeah, it was crazy, really.
And it's crazy
How old was she at this point when?
She was 8 weeks old.
Okay.
And actually, that's very early to get a diagnosis, we've come to find out. Like, people wait years because they're dismissed, or it's not bad enough, or what, you know. So it was very early to get this diagnosis, but the amount of, like, gaslighting I had to go through and, like, that validation part, I am still, like, recovering from all of that to this day. But I think when you're a parent, Revy's one of one. So she has 4Q syndrome. She, at 8 weeks old, they told us she was completely blind. But now, at three, she lost her right eye. But she can see. Like, we don't know what, but she can see stuff. She loves TV, so we know she sees something. And she has epilepsy, so she has seizures all the time, almost daily. She has cerebral palsy, nonverbal, developmentally delayed. So she's a three-year-old a newborn in a three-year-old's body. And it's crazy because I didn't love the newborn stage. Like, I didn't, you know, and it's almost like God's like, here you go. Like, you wanted that redo, you know. And so it's been really cool to.
It's like, hard, though.
Yeah.
Because she's also growing still. She's getting taller. She's getting heavier. And just like, I'm sweating because I was like bouncing her on the ball. Yeah. It's like, I'm not sure when we're going to get rid of the ball. And so although it is really cool that she's so very innocent and very playful, it's also like, how are we going to keep up with this? Because she is getting taller. She's getting heavier. And so it's definitely been like a different type of journey to try to navigate through.
Sure.
And we thought that was like our story. Like, what a crazy story this is. That was not even like the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, wow.
And so, just to, like, long story short, like, we ended up having to piece off our business. Like, we couldn't even, like, sell it for...
Well, because Brittany was actually trying to travel back and forth between Idaho and Utah. Because I'm over here like, we just put our life savings into this business. Like, we have to. We sold everything off for this. We traded the lifestyle that we had in Utah to try to chase after this thing. And it's like, it's here now. You know, and so she was traveling back and forth, and it's just like, we couldn't do it. It was way too hard. The bills were too expensive trying to travel back and forth, and we were split up too much. And especially with those winters too, it's like, there's no way that we can feel safe traveling that far that often.
Oh, for sure.
So we like decided to sell the business. It didn't sell like at all. And we were like, what do we do? And so we just pieced off our equipment. Like, and we probably made like 1/4 back what we invested. Yeah. But we were like, it's fine. Like, we've done this before. We can do this again. And we started training from our garage in Utah. So we moved out to Utah. And Revy never slept. So 2 years of our life, like, she literally didn't sleep. Like, ever. And it was getting blamed on, like, oh, it's just routine. Oh, you guys bounce on the ball too much. You've trained her to, like, not sleep. And so we took away the ball. We took turns for 2 years. Like, you have her until you can't stay awake any longer, and then wake me up. And then I'll do that. And then we had two older girls who go to school. They would miss school probably 80% of the time because Revy would finally go to sleep at 7 a.m. And I'm like, yeah, right. We're not going. So... Mm-hmm. Yeah, school's optional, you know, in our house. And
maybe when our kids see what we're doing financially, they'll go to school more seriously.
Yeah, because now we are on the struggle bus, for sure. But we ended up moving close to this hospital. And this is when our story, like, where we're at today, basically. Revy had a seizure She had 3 seizures. We couldn't get her to breathe. We had to take her to the hospital. They put a tube down her throat because her heart like stopped everything. And we thought, like, we've had to many times be like, okay, Revy's passing, you know, like, did we do enough? Is she proud of us? You know, kind of thing. And they were able to put the breathing tube in and we're like, okay, this is great. Everything's going to be fine. And that's when I realized, like, medically complex kids, the system is not built for them. And if you do not fight with every single piece of you, your baby will pass way before, you know, they're supposed to. And I did not know how to speak up. Like, going back to those self-worth issues, like, speaking up for me was, it took everything. And here we are at this hospital where Revy's getting worse. Like, we brought her in. Yes, she had seizures and all this stuff, but, like, she's doing worse than she was when I brought her in. Like, and the doctors are just, like, dismissing everything. They're like, oh, yep, she's declining. Oh, yeah, don't kids usually die before they're 2 with this disease anyway, you know? Like,
oh, my gosh.
It was horrible. And Fatu, like, which I understand this perspective, but he was scared. Like, he was like, don't, like, speak up because you're going to hurt her care. And I was mad. I was, like, getting mad at them. And
yeah, it brought a toll on our relationship, too, because it's like when you... This is how I feel is like if you're a mom and for so long you've been trying to tell these people what's going on with your kid and they're all dismissing you and then you finally get the, okay, there is something wrong. And then you get to the next stage and there's a whole nother level of people that are saying that you're wrong. And I'm understanding that it's like, Brittany, these are the professionals. Like, let them do their thing. And because in my head... I mean, both of us, we've never been in this situation before. We didn't ask to get into this medical world of the complex kids. And so when all this stuff is going on, I'm like, they know. Like, they've seen this before. We've never seen this before. We've never dealt with just a regular medically complex kid, let alone a one-of-one kid. And so I'm telling her, like, Brittany, stop. Like, let them do their thing. If this is what they're saying, then... And I didn't know it at the time. I'm so grateful that Brittany, like, stepped up even when I wasn't there. Like, yeah, like, let's go and get him. Like, she, I'm not just saying this because she's here. Like, is pretty cool that she was mm-hmm. able to, like, give me that grace of, like, no. Like, this is what's happening. And I think that strengthened her. And then also me, too, of, like, damn, maybe they're not, like, right. Maybe that... intuition is a real thing and she hasn't been wrong about it yet, which has been pretty cool to see.
It's your mama's heart. It's yeah. And we're lions.
Right? For sure. And this is when like the first, like there was angels, like our community, like pretty much financially has supported us for like 3 years. Like, to be honest. And that happened in Idaho. They dedicated football games to Revy. They cleaned they ran our business. Like, our people, we weren't even training and they were paying their monthly bill. Like, they were still paying.
Yeah. And then, and they came and cleaned our gym too. And there were high school kids that I was close to that I worked with. They were like throwing sessions for me while we were in the hospital, like figuring it out with Rev. It's, Idaho is such a, Rigby is such a special place to us because of that.
But this is the first time, like, angels, like, I think we were talking about before, like, there's no accident. These people are sent to us. So we were in the hospital and Fatu was basically like, we need to just be chill. Like, it's okay. Let's trust them. We'll trust the doctors. And I'm over here like, absolutely not. And these two people walk in the room and they looked very official. And I was like, oh my gosh, they called admin on me probably. Like, here we go.
This is the start of like Brittany being like as loud as she is, as loud as she needed to be.
Yeah. This is where Brittany was born, the new one. And so they come in and I was like, and they introduced themselves as missionaries. So they were an older couple, and they were the hospital missionaries for our church. So LDS, Latter-day Saints. And they came in, and they were like, hey, we're here to give your baby a blessing. If that's okay, can we please come in? And what that is like, they just, you know, pray over her. And of course we wanted that. I was like, oh, please, like she needs this blessing. Please come in. And so they gave Revy the blessing. And then the wife of the couple looked at me and she's like, you need a blessing. And I was like, no, it's okay. And at this point, like we've been in our church our whole life, but again, like on paper, like, and I just didn't, I don't know. I just didn't feel like I was deserving of a blessing at that time. And I'm like, no, it's okay. It's okay. And she kept pushing. She's like, no, like you need a blessing. And so I sit in the chair and she gives me this, or he gives me the blessing. And he says, he's like, don't forget why you're here. Don't forget, like, what God, like, asked you to do. Don't be quiet and make sure you speak up. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I needed this so bad. And then they asked Fatu to give him a blessing. I was like, yes, please give him one. And they said to him, and they said, please trust the doctors. Please try to like be still and be quiet and like just listen. And I thought that was so weird because I was like, he is trying to listen. Like, what are you talking about? Like, tell him to start fighting, you know, like what? And so I was like, this is so weird. But like, I don't know. I know that this was so meant to be. And that night, okay, we get this nurse. We love our nurses. There's never a nurse that we like don't vibe with, except this nurse. He didn't vibe with her. And I'm like, he was like, I'm going to ask this nurse to leave. I'm like, no, they already hate us. Like, don't ask her to leave. Like, what are you doing?
And she even said to, she's like, remember your blessing. I'm like, girl, what are you talking about? Because Rev has the tube in her throat, you know what? And they bring this nurse in, and for us to like, now that she's intubated, she's actually getting sedated, and so she is going to sleep. So we're like, oh, like we can sleep too, and obviously this is the safest place. Like we're gonna be able to get some rest too, and then it's like everything happened.
Well, yeah, so like he wants to kick this nurse out. He doesn't trust her. And I'm just like, I'll stay up all night. Like, just go to sleep, please. You know? And my goal was to try to get out of that hospital. I wanted them to transfer us. And that was what I was going to ask for tomorrow. I'm like, if we can just get out of here, we can save Revy. And so I was like, go to sleep. Don't do anything crazy because I have a plan. So he forces himself to go to sleep. And I'm just like chatting with the nurse, you know? And it was bad. Like the hot, every there, it was just not good. Revy only had one line in her, and that was where the sedation was going. So she wouldn't pull out her tube. Because if she pulls out her tube, like she could just die from that. And all of a sudden they're like, we're going to give her an antibiotic, but we can't run it through this line at the same time as her sedation because they don't like, they're not compatible, so we have to take off the sedation. And the nurse isn't telling me this. She's, like, speaking it out loud to herself. And I'm sitting in the chair, and I'm like, heck no. What do you mean you're going to... But this voice comes to me. It said, do not interrupt. And I was like, what? And so I'm just quiet, and I'm watching her take off Revy's sedation, hook up an IV, and I kid you not, in 10 seconds, because Revy's metabolism is insane, she sits vertical and she's going crazy with a breathing tube down her throat. And then it was like, okay, you can lose it now. And I like, I've never done this. Like, if you knew me before, I lost it. I was like in the hall. I'm like, we need help in here.
I woke up to her like screaming. And I thought something like, which something bad did happen. But I woke up to Brittany screaming.
It was 2 a.m. and I was like, we need help. And Revy was like, her stats, she was like 20% oxygen. Her heart, like she was, it was so bad. And like, the doctor comes in, they're like, what's going on? What's going on? They hurry, hook her back up to the sedation. They get her back down. And I was like, get me out of this hospital right now. Like, get me out. And that next day, we had to go fight the entire administration. I got, like, told to go back in my room, that I don't care about my daughter because they wanted to pull the breathing tube out. But we ended up winning. Like, we got it to where we could transfer her. And I really, truly believe that those two were sent, like, those were angels, because I don't know if I would have, like, stood up. And I think that needed to happen because it was bad enough for them to be like, this is already looking, you know, yeah, when they, there's when reason they, to transfer. When
they sat down with the administration, they were trying to tell us, like, why we are not fit to transfer. Almost, like, scaring us, too, of, like, okay, if you guys do this, it's on your own free will, and insurance isn't going to cover this because we're able to do all this stuff. And then when Brittany had brought up the stuff that had happened, they were kind of, like, looking at each other, like, dang it. And so that's how we were able to get out.
Wow.
How old was she at this time?
She was almost two.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and pretty much from there, it's just been trying to fight to keep Revy alive. It's been, and not because, you know, it was her time. It, like, what ended up happening, we went to the next hospital and they did, like, a test on her, found out she was being treated with the wrong antibiotics and that she had this thing called Pseudomonas. She was septic. They gave her the right antibiotics. She was better within 48 hours. Like, it was, and she was able to, she was on the breathing tube for a while, but she was able to come off. And if we would have stayed at that hospital, their plan that day was to remove the breathing tube and just see how she would be. Like, she,
because her throat was already closing up too. So if they were to pull that out and their throat closed up, they couldn't put the tube back in. And so it was a lot of, like, us trying to advocate for she's not ready. Or at least, what are we doing to take it to the next steps where we can get her ready? And she had been on it for, what, 8 days?
Yeah, at that hospital. At that hospital.
Yeah.
But she ended up being on it for almost 3 weeks. But after that is, like, I realized that, like, I needed to speak up. It was still hard. But Revy ended up losing her eye because of being dismissed, delayed, misdiagnosed, said it was pink eye, ended that, you know, and now she has no eye. She had a bacterial infection that went unnoticed, not from us. Like, we were advocating, we were in the hospital asking for tests, but it was 8 months until they realized that she had a bacterial infection. And so we spent so much time in the hospital just fighting for our child's life. And the outcome spoke for itself, that it never needed to be that bad. It wasn't her disease that was killing her. It's delaying care. And over that time, like, our two girls have just been, like, amazing. Like, they went from, like, they had us all the time. Like, we made our own hours. We were at home with them, and
we like try to create this whole life of us being entrepreneurs so that we can build our schedules around them. And we did. And it was like right when that happened, then it's like, okay, we have to go away into the hospital for weeks and months at a time. So
yeah,
I think us getting Ella and Shia as our first two kids was definitely a blessing, because I'm not sure a lot of kids could handle, like, what was to come. They are solid.
Yeah.
Really good kids.
And we often, like, so what, we are now at Philadelphia, for our care. We had to transfer again.
And Ella and Shia live here in Utah. We wanted to make sure that they have the support of family here, because we don't know anyone in Philly. And also, I don't know if you've been out there to Philadelphia. It's much better for them to be here.
Shout out to Philly, though. Yeah. We love it.
Because we're in a small town. We're not just in Utah. We're in Logan. So a lot slower pace, which is great. And then the support of the family. And two, I think a big decision that we made, or a reason why we made this decision, is Ellen and Shia have had to move around. Really, for me, I'm like, I'm gonna go and chase after these goals, and you guys are gonna get all the benefits. Like, just follow me. And this is the first time where I've, like, had to look at them to say, like, what is best for you? And we felt like it was to have some stability.
And we knew Philadelphia. We didn't know how long we'll be there. We're still there, but we know that it's temporary. We just, Revy needs to be stable. And prior to that, what we were having to do is we were essentially like an ICU team at home. Like Revy would have a seizure, stop breathing, and we would take those green bags that you see on the TV and we would have to bag Revy back to life, essentially. And our 10 and 12-year-old Ellen Shia were helping. And they were putting the pulse ox on. They were calling 911. They were suctioning out when she vomits during her seizure. We can't have her aspirate. They were giving us rescue meds. Like, because there were so many things. Like, it's a full, like, code in a hospital. They would call it a code blue. A full team comes.
And there's, like, 10 to 15 people that come to help out. And then at home, it's me, Brittany, Ella, Shia, and Grandma.
Yeah.
That are trying to save Rev's life.
And we had put them through so much. They've seen their sister almost pass away all the time. And it's not because, like, this is it. It was, we would go to the hospital and they would just send us home. And I told Ella, like, sometimes as a parent, you're like, hey, who am I hurting? Like, I don't even know how to say it. Like, what kid do I choose? Like, that's how I felt. It's like, but these two are not going to be like dead on my living room floor. So I have to choose Revy. And so I asked Ella, I was like, Ella, like, I'm so sorry that I'm not ever here. And even when I'm here, I'm not mentally here because I have to fight a hospital system. Like, I have to become, you know, everything. And I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, what can I do? And she was like, no, Mom. She was like, you have to give it everything you got right now. She's like, you have to save Revy. Like, that's the whole point. And it was like this permission that I didn't even know I was asking for. But it gave me the permission to be like, all right, girl, you said to go. Like, here we go. And we're going all the way to Philadelphia. And I'm so thankful for her because we stood up to, we had like the president, we talked to the president of the hospital. There was like 25 doctors, different specialties, and they all said that Revy needed like this trach in her throat, like cutting a hole in your throat so you can breathe because she stops breathing during her seizures. And Fabio and I knew that would cost her joy. She loves to swim. And we also knew that we didn't spend the last 9 months as a family saving Revy on the living room floor to take pieces away from her. Like, we did this to preserve who she is, and there's still chances that we can preserve. And so we basically told the hospital, like, no, we're not doing this. And we got ethics involved, and they were like, yeah, you can't preemptively trach someone who doesn't need to be trached, you know? And at that point, it just, the relationship wasn't good, and we commercially flew Revy across the country. We didn't get a medical transfer. We didn't even know what we were doing. I stole our DME equipment, which is like our oxygen, our suction. I took it. So Utah, I have it. You'll get it back at some point. I literally was like, I got to keep my kid alive, you know,
But the reason we were able to do that is exactly what you guys talk about, our angels. We did not plan to have that. We don't have a savings account, but we had been documenting our journey, and I feel like angels here on earth or even from the other side that have helped us through people have gotten us there financially and also spiritually too. So many people have reached out with prayers and support, and that goes a long way, especially when you're like a family that has zero medical experience and the people who are the professionals in your state are telling you no. It's a very scary battle to try to go against, but having that support of people seeing what's going on, and that's what's crazy too, is a lot of these people, that some of them we've never even met in person, know Rev more than the doctors that are telling us what to do. And so I think that has been such a blessing. I think maybe the biggest angel is Rev herself. It's like we would not be this strong if we didn't have to be. And I think sometimes you need like the first person to like lead, which is so crazy that it's our three-year-old that's nonverbal, that has one eye, that has seizures, and she can barely keep herself alive. It's like that is the one that's leading all of this, which is so crazy that, like, thinking back, Brittany asked God for the next thing, like, okay, we're ready for it, that he sent like one of the strongest angels to us. We're so very blessed. It's such a hard life, but the people that we've become just in these short 3 years have been pretty cool to see. And also, I think more importantly, is the people that we've come into contact with. I don't think that we'd know half the people that we do if it weren't for Rev and all of these trials that we're experiencing and overcoming too.
Mm-hmm. And getting her to CHOP, we documented everything. So we're at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and she is stable without a trach, without brain surgery. She was on, like, the things that they changed, she was on too many medications that actually made her seizures worse. She was on two of them that actually interfered with this diet. A lot of kids who have epilepsy are on the keto diet, and two of Revy's meds directly interfered with that working. So they removed medication, actually. Revy was on 6 seizure meds. So on top of that, our kid is disappeared because she's so heavily drugged. And they took away meds at CHOP. And we have Revy, like, Revy smiles, she's playing, you know, her seizures, they're under a minute now, where they were 20 minutes before of us bagging our baby. Like, and
we haven't had to bag yet.
No, we haven't bagged her. She hasn't received a rescue med.
Yeah, not even rescue meds, just the VNS that's actually pulling her out. And sometimes she'll even get out before we are able to swipe.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the coolest things, is when we were like, we're going to Philly. It's like, Brittany's like, we're going to Philly to get brain surgery. Like, this is what we're doing because you guys are saying the only way she can get brain surgery is with the trach, and that's going to change her life dramatically. And then we get to CHOP, and they've been like taking looks at her, and everything that they've done to her is medications and her diet. And they're like, she's not even close to like talking about surgery. And she's like, we're not going to take that off the table, but there's a lot more that we can do before we even get to that. And it's already shown drastic changes. Like, I thought we were going to Philly to get this surgery. And so to go out there and to see them change, like, simple things that could have been changed here, I think is, I don't know, it's very cool to see that they see Rev for who she is or who she can be. And I think over here, they were more so, it's like we were a burden. It's like they, and that's hard to feel, like when the people that are supposed to take care of you are annoyed of you. It's hard.
Yeah. 100%.
How long have you guys been in Philly now?
A month and a half. Yeah, and we're home. Like, this is the first time we've had permission in 9 months to have a regular life. Like, I mean, Revy still has seizures. She's not cured, which was never, like, the problem, right? We never were like, cure. I mean, if we could, that would be cool. But, like she gets to grow. She gets to be happy. And so we're home, and we get to fly back to Utah and see Ellen Shia. And we go back for the appointments for Rev. They said that if we could give them 6 months at Philadelphia, that they would really get to understand and know Revy and get her in a spot that, you know, she could be home, like, for good. And not, we were hospitalized over 20 times just this year at our previous hospital, and we didn't receive, like, anything other than stacking more medications until admission 18. And so when we went and talked with CHOP, they said that leadership had said that they hadn't seen, or they personally have never sent a family home in our situation in the last 50 years of leadership. And they said that, and that was, we were sent home 20 times. And so I just, it was such a hard decision because it's scary. You don't know what you're doing. But it's been the best decision. And to like kind of circle back, just like, I didn't like myself before. All, you know, I was always searching for that thing that like would check the box off. Like, maybe I'll like me now. Maybe if it's, I am a business owner, I'm not just a mom. I never wanted to be just a mom. My mom was just a mom, and I saw her give every piece of herself, and that like just didn't seem like what I wanted to do. And now I am just a mom, and I am like a mom 24/7, keeping my child alive. And when I look at myself in the mirror, like, I like who I see for the first time, and I have nothing. We live like in my parents' house in a dining room, and my parents are angels. And like, I just think it's crazy that God let me fight for Revy, and in turn it like helped me fight for myself, you know? And I'm just so thankful that I have that opportunity. I get to be Revy's mom.
I know if she could speak, she would say, "Mom, you are my hero. Like, you are my angel, because you fought so hard when other people were not." And that is such a beautiful thing. As I listen to you, I don't know if I would have been that strong, because I am not that type either. But I think that we love our children, and we will do anything for them. And she's so stinking proud of you, and that you're her mom.
I was thinking earlier too, as you were talking, I was kind of overcome with this feeling. And you guys said the word advocate. You have to advocate for her. And before you even mentioned that, you were talking about how God told you have to fight for her and not back down. And the word advocate came to my mind. And that's one of my favorite descriptions of the Savior, is he is our advocate. And I just had this feeling of, that is exactly what he does for us, and he will do for us nonstop, is he is our advocate. And for you to be that for Revy, she has a Savior just like we do, but you are her Savior, and you advocate for her. And that's exactly what he does for us on a daily basis. And he is always there for us, just like you are always there for Revy. She can rely on you. We can rely on him. And it's so beautiful. And thank you for teaching me that again tonight. It's not fair that you guys have to do this and have had to go through what you went through in Utah. But I'm so thankful and glad that you're getting the proper care that you need and that she needs. There's not really much that I can say, but I have felt my Savior's love for me through you, and I know that others will as well. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah, I we like to ask at the end of every episode, if there's anyone that's listening that's going through something similar, what is a piece of advice that you would give?
Yeah, I think something that is good to know is, like when we went through the temple, me and Brittany were together and we were looking at our daughter and we were like in such awe of her. And the guy comes up behind us and he puts his arm around both of us. And he's like, that love that you have for your kid is puppy love compared to the love that your heavenly father has for you. And that always stuck with me. And so like when I look at my kids, I'm like, there's nothing that they could ever do that would ever change my mind about them. And I think like when we see the stuff that we're going through, I think it's very easy for people to say, why me? Why is this happening to me? Why is God doing this to me? When in reality, I think that there's a greater power that is trying to get us to be at a level that we're not yet. And so even you said, it's like, I'm not sure if I could do that. I think if you had to, you would. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's a greater power that's looking out for us to try to pull something out of us that's there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of truth in that too. But we always allow our guests, we give them the opportunity at the end also to share one thing that you know to be true. And I'd love to hear from each of you.
For me, like what I know to be true is that if there's something inside of you that like will not like go away, even if you try to push it away, right? And maybe you feel so unworthy of it. Maybe you feel like everyone else is telling you that you're wrong. Like that is a gift that you have, and it only matters like of one person. If that one person, God, is telling you that it's real and it's true and it's worth standing up for and fighting for, like follow it and believe it. And it doesn't matter what it costs. Like the person I was before Revy is gone. Like that person is not here anymore. And there's grief in that, but it's like, that's so much better. Like the things that I was searching for endlessly are on this side. And to just trust like that voice inside of you, and always like you can always talk to God. Like I think before I felt like I had to check off boxes and then I could talk to God. Like, okay, once I start doing this better and this, then, you know. But with Revy, it's like, I need you now. I need you today. I need you right now, in this minute and next. And he really is there, even when you don't feel like he is. And that's just what I hope to like bring true to anyone, that thing, that feeling inside of you is him.
I think for me, I've been very fortunate to have like a front row seat to all of this stuff for the last 3 years, to see like, because me and Brittany were together since I was a sophomore. And so to see like this person that she's evolved into is really cool. And so I think the one thing for me to say is everything is for our own good, especially the hard stuff. Like what we've learned these last 3 years, the people that we've become, it's only happened because of all the hard stuff that we've gone through. And so maybe the person that is putting you through it is looking out for you. I think that when you have perspective like that, it gives you some sense of why you're across the country away from your two kids.
She's really lucky to have you. You're a huge support, and likewise, you know, the other way around too. But I can tell that you guys, you know, really, really love each other. And obviously you've gone through hell and back together. And I love that you support your family, and it shows. It doesn't matter if you have all the riches in the world, like, you show up for your family. And that is every wife's dream. So thank you for being here.
She's basically telling you that you're making me look bad.
Right. I just think that there's some men that could fold in these situations, and it shows that, you know, I'm sure that there's some really ugly moments, but at the same time, you can just tell that, you know, you're there. You both are for each other. You need to.
I was just going to say, where can people find you on like Instagram and stuff?
Yeah. So a few things, like for my Instagram, you can follow me at Brittany Quinn, and there's extra letters in my name, BRITTANY Quinn, Brittany Quinn. But because of all of this, we've created a nonprofit where families can reach out and be heard. Like, Revy could have got what she needed on admission 3. You know, if maybe there was somebody to say, like, pause. If there was, like, I want to be like those two people, this foundation, like those two people that came in and gave us those blessings and reminded us. And so, like, what, you know, you're not alone. And so we created a nonprofit called Revy's Rule. And you can,
yeah, so you'll find it at revysrule.org. And so we have, that's a place for people that need help and also people that are willing to help. So yeah, we're pretty excited about just barely starting that up.
That's awesome. Amazing. We'll put all that information in the show notes.
And thank stuff. You.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for being with us, and we'll keep you in our prayers.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Have a good night.
You too. Bye.
Thanks for joining us on Angels Among Us. You can find us on YouTube and wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow along for more stories of everyday miracles and reminders that angels are among us. If you have a story to share, please email or DM us with a brief summary. We'd love to hear from you. And remember, when we are waiting, God is working.